Okay. It is.
Thank you.
It says recording.
It told me that too. Okay. So this is the Netherlands Fire Protection District Board of Directors special meeting on September the 16th, 2020, to discuss operational matters. Start with roll call. Ian Owen Powell, I'm present. Patrick Richardson.
Present.
Todd Weisler.
Present.
Ray Willis. We believe absent, excused. And Henry Zerbrick.
Yep.
Okay. So we have a quorum. I'm going to call this meeting to order at 19:02. Did everybody see the meeting agenda that I sent out on Sunday?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm going to make a motion. We approve that meeting agenda. Do I have a second?
A second.
And do the other board members approve of the meeting agenda?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. The minutes of the previous meeting have not yet been transcribed. I didn't have time to do them last week. We'll catch up on them next week. And if there are any public present on this meeting who wish to make a statement, you may do so now.
Ian, it's Charlie. I don't know when my time to talk would be. I have a few things to add to whenever. Part of the organizational stuff for the most part.
Okay, we can do that in the operational report part of it.
Okay.
That'll be fine. I haven't had chance to, or haven't been able to pick up email, so if there's any additions, just let me know.
Okay.
Okay, based on that, we'll move on to the operational items. So last Friday, the officers had a meeting with myself and Patrick. We discussed a couple of things. Specifically, we were talking about ISO and working towards improving our ISO rating. Specifically within that, we were talking about hose testing costs, pump testing, and ladder testing, which are kind of easy wins in terms of the points you score for ISO. Patrick, I was waiting for costs for hose testing. Did you get anything back on that?
So in fact, we just finished hose testing yesterday. And in about 2.5 days, this company tested over 32,000 feet of hose of all sizes, 5-inch, 2.5, and 1.75. And they charge us 29 cents a foot to test it. So okay. I think Charlie gave us a number somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000 feet of hose. So I don't know if they would, for such little hose, if they would charge some sort of setup fee, but obviously okay. That's roughly $1,160.
Okay. That seems worthwhile. So just for background, the last time we did hose testing, I think it probably took us nearly a month and took 4 trainings to do that, which was a poor use of training time, in my opinion. I don't know if anybody else has another opinion on that.
This is Ryan, and I agree that contracting this out is something that is, I think, more cost effective than burning up a month and a half of trainings. Someday we might get mm-hmm. there to doing it ourselves, but I feel like we are not there today. So this will help our ISO greatly. I think we need to do this.
And just to reiterate on something that Ryan mentioned previously is that if we do it this year and then next year, then we cover 2 years of host testing, which greatly helps our ISO rating. Is that correct?
Yes.
That is correct. So generally, they look back 5 years. But if you do 1 year, you generally get zero credit. 2 years, you might get 10%. 3 years, you might get 40%. So it kind of ramps up. So doing it this year and doing it next year is going to really set us up to be a win for dropping our ISO rating. As we all know, Sugarloaf's ISO rating is much lower than ours, which is better. And it's mainly because of their host testing, pump testing, and record keeping. That is it.
Right. Okay. So Patrick, if you haven't already, can you supply us with the details of the company that Castle Rock were using, please?
Yes, I can do that. Yeah. Also, obviously it's on the agenda. I don't have a price for ladder testing. However, the last folks that tested Netherlands ladders are the same folks that test ours. And they kind of really just swing through the region. They're more or less a mobile type vendor. And we will have them out here, I want to say, in October to test our ladder. So the point is that they will be in the area, the same folks that have tested Netherlands ladders in the past will be out here in October. So I don't know what the price is to do ladder testing.
Okay.
Hey, Patrick.
We can look back to-
Patrick, this is Henry. I'm sorry, Ian. I got a couple of questions on that. On you said 32 cents per foot. Is that correct?
No, they charged us 29 cents a foot.
Okay, and us is Castle Rock, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and you had 32,000 feet of hose.
Yes, sir.
And you made a calculation. It will cost our district about 1,500. Is that correct?
Well, about for 4,000 feet, that was the number I was given, 4,000 feet, and that's roughly, what, $1,160. Now, like I said, they don't charge us a setup fee because they're testing a lot of hose and charging us to test a lot of hose. They may say for 4,000 feet, you know, we want to charge you so much to drive up there and set up. I don't know those details.
So how does that go coincide with the newly adopted purchasing agreement? I mean, what did we decide? Did we, like, I know there is a certain amount of purchase amounts we have to get, a couple bits or three bits, and then there's an approval process. Mm-hmm. Are you guys looking at that and making sure we're following that newly adopted agreement?
Well, we have to follow it for sure. I mean, that's policy.
Right. And I don't remember what those numbers were, but at a certain amount, we had to get a couple or three competitive bids for certain things.
Mm-hmm. I believe it was, because I can't see it, I don't have it to hand here, but it either at that level, less than 5,000 was three competitive bids,
yep,
or a business case for it, and that can be a verbal business case. And I believe the ISO rating is a valid business case. So we could talk about that in more detail if we wish.
No, that's fine. I just want to make sure we're going to follow the newly adapted protocol. The other question I had on the ISO rating, I know we've been talking about this in length in past board meetings, and it never seemed to be, yes, we could improve our district by a couple of points, but it never seemed to be enough or adequate to actually produce lower insurance rates for the people in our district. So, I mean, I would think that's probably a consideration. If we, yes, it'd be great if we can improve our ISO rating, but at the end of the day, if it doesn't yield any savings to our district, then we think we have a better product or a better district, but B, we're not providing the savings to the taxpayers in our district.
So, Henry, can I comment on it? This is Ryan.
Yes, please.
So, you know, from Chief Durr's past presentations that I sat in on, So one of the key things is record keeping and past records. And so hose testing is key. They look back 5 years, hose testing, pump testing, and some other things. And we generally do it once every 5 years. And so we get zero credit. So in the past, when I've worked with Timberline doing some work with them, they started picking this up, kind of following the model of Sugarloaf, and it has paid off in dropping our ISO rating. That's why right now for Sugarloaf, their whole district has a lower rating than our in-hydrated area.
Right, so I agree it's going to drop our rating, but does that equate at the end of the day to lower insurance rates for our district?
Well, so that's a little, it depends on the insurance company, but it is a quantifiable standard saying that we have a lower ISO rating than X place. So it is something that's measurable, and trying to keep it as low as possible is a good thing.
Right. No, I don't disagree. It's a good thing to have a better ISO rating. At the end of the day, Ryan, that the district has a certain amount of money to spend. And if at the end of the day, the money we're spending does give us a better ISO rating, but in return doesn't provide better rates for our constituents, then I think that's a debatable expense.
Well, it's something that we really can't prove, without doing a huge survey, which probably costs more money to do the survey, but it does not hurt anyone. So for the cost of about $1,000, $1,500, I think it's a good idea.
So my concern kind of emulates Henry's, which is we do have a finite amount of money, and I'm concerned about this year and where we're going to end up this year. So my first question is, can we afford to spend the money on the hose testing and the ladder, possible ladder and pump testing? That's one question. Then to come full circle, Ryan, you're correct in that a lot of insurance companies no longer look at ISO to determine their insurance rates. They look at the amount insured in a region, and then they base fire loss or claims in that region, and then they formulate their rates based on actual claims. There are other insurance companies that purely use ISO, and in particularly commercial insurance. So all of our businesses downtown still use ISO. And then lastly, whether we're hose testing, pump testing, or ladder testing, we're forgetting the main reason as to why we're doing this. More than ISO, it's to make sure that when we do have that fire, we have hoses that aren't going to accidentally burst on us, because we don't necessarily fight a lot of fire or as often. And so testing those hoses and finding the ones that are potentially going to fail when we are working, testing the pump to make sure that the pressure relief valve, make sure that it holds the vacuum, make sure that all the valves are operating correctly. That's where we find the problems in actual formal testing. As with the same with our ladders. And so, yes, ISO is a big part of it, and there are certain insurance companies that use ISO, but I would say more than that is to find failures before we actually have the call. So
can we find those failures ourselves internally, or are we then in essence at the end just paying for a certification stamp that somebody that is certified and insured says, yes, I tested your hoses and ladders and you're certified? Could we find that failure internally?
No, we need a certification from a third party.
But if there's a failure on the hose, we would find that out internally. I mean, we could test that hose and find that out pretty quick if there was a hose that wasn't right.
Generally, ISO is looking for somebody to test. As far as ladders, especially the aerial device, they want a third party testing it.
Yeah, third party testing for the ladders, and it's non-destructive testing. And then also hose testing, yes, we could run the exact same test that the company would come out. So we have to test to the NFPA standard.
Yeah. I kind of hear where you're going with that, Henry. But like I said, with the hose testing particularly, that was 4 weeks of training that we could have been doing much more useful training with our volunteers with. And you need a lot of people to hose test. If you've got to unpack, lay it out, pressurize it, drain it, and then pack it back up. I think it's certainly worth looking into the costs for. I'm not, you know, 100% there myself yet. But I'd like to know what it costs us to do that. And we should certainly factor that into our next budget cycle.
Yeah, I think it's something that'd be good to start next year, given that we don't know how close we're going to run this year.
Yeah.
So we should find out what the costs are.
Well, this is Ryan again. To put everything in perspective, in September, I'm sure Henry remembers this, district bought $1,200 in pants that are all the same size. So awesome. Is that a good investment, or is the same amount of money in hose testing a better investment?
So I'm not going to get into what was done in the past. I want to speak to hose testing, pump testing, ladder testing, and develop a plan that we can actually execute and continue to carry on with for the foreseeable future. So,
hey, and Patrick, can I ask you a question? I've heard a couple of numbers. I heard 32,000 feet and then 4,000 feet. Was it really supposed to be 3,200 feet? Is how much hose we have to test, or how much is the amount of hose we have to test?
From what I know, Nederland has 4,000 feet of hose.
Okay, great, thank you. That's what it seems more reasonable. And so then the total cost of having to test that is 11
measurement.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And that's why I suspect they will probably, you know, for 4,000 feet, have some sort of setup charge, and you know, they have to make it worth their time.
So that 29 cents per foot might be a little higher. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, if we can get the details on that from the company that Castle Rock uses, we can also put feelers out to other companies and see what they'll charge for that. And then there's also the possibility of talking to our neighboring districts and saying, "Hey, look, we're going to get this company up. Do you want to be part of it?" And maybe we can do like a bit of a cost split on that minimum charge.
Yeah, that certainly makes a lot of sense.
Okay. There's no real decision to make on that at the moment. That's just something that needs to be in the air that we need to think about. Ideally, if we do it this year, we get a year for free, effectively.
I would counter that, saying that we are rapidly running out of our sunny days. So I would ask the board to kind of make a commitment to getting this done within a certain budgetary parameter so that we can start planning this, because this is assuming that these people or the company, which I've looked them up, actually Failsafe Ladder Testing, their website's right down for the last 2 days. I haven't been able to pull anything up. But today is September 16th, and time is ticking as far as our weather window.
Sure.
So I would ask the board to approve. I'm sorry, Patrick, what did you say? 29 cents times 4,000. What do you think the rough budgetary number is, Patrick?
1160, but like I said, I'm not going to hang my hat on that number. Ultimately, that's just not enough hose. If I were running that company, I certainly wouldn't agree to that amount to drive all the way up to Nederland just to, you know.
I completely appreciate that. But can we ask the board to approve like up to $1,500 for hose testing? And we'll try to do our best on bids and everything like that. There's only one game in town that I know of. I can ask around a little bit more. But I'm just saying to get this ball rolling before we are doing it in snow.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. Anybody else?
Well, before I agree, you know, we need to know, you know, do we have the money to actually do this? Do we have the money to do ladder testing? Do we have the money to do pump testing? So where are we with available funds to actually get this done.
Okay. We have had the same party.
Yeah, sure. At this point, we're kind of running a little bit tight, but I do have two pieces of information that may change that. Three pieces of information that may change that. So today I spoke to Jim, and we managed to sell the yellow GMC Sierra, I think it is, for $1,500. We made an agreement to sell the old 5602 for $3,000, I believe. And then we're in the process of trying to sell the old Jeep from Station 2, the old plow truck, for another $1,000. So that's bringing us some income in that's easing that. I appreciate we are very tight, but I feel that would be a good exchange that we could use.
Oh, the last two, Ian, are they solid? Are they sold? Or are they just somebody's a serious looker?
They are solid in so much as the Jeep we have a titling issue with that we're trying to fix, because that's going to a private dealer. The engine, I believe, already has a title, so that's good.
Okay.
Yes, I appreciate we are sailing fairly close to the wind at the moment. I think personally it's a reasonable thing to say. We could say if it's less than 1500 for the hose testing, then yes. If it's more than that, then we probably have to have a better discussion, and we need to have a closer look at the budget and where we are at this point.
Yeah.
Ian and the board, I would support that notion, I think, but I would want to reserve the right to really review that before we release that $1,500 or less. Review that topic maybe one more time and really figure out.
Sure.
I mean, it sounds like it's a good investment for our community. Is it going to yield to the community what we think it's going to yield? And just to make sure we follow our protocol and our plan. And then I think I'm okay making that commitment right now.
Yeah, I think it's the kind of low-hanging fruit for the ISO. I also think it's just from a safety perspective, it's a good thing for us to do. We need to look at the age of a lot of our hoses and make some decisions next year in the budget about replacement policy for those too. So.
That's a good point.
At the end of the day, we still have to be responsible, you know, fiscally responsible to our constituents as well, not just have a professional responsibility. There's also fiscal responsibility.
Absolutely.
And I think we're doing the right thing talking about it. And I think if we look at it one more time when it's ready to go, I think we're doing the right thing.
And I asked, how would we make that decision? Like what trigger points or what would we use to make that decision, whether it's financially responsible for the district?
I would start with, once we have cash in hand from the sale of the two trucks, and when we can say definitively, this is our operating capital left for the balance of the year, and it's of a reasonable figure. But right now with the sale of the little yellow GMC truck and that's $1,500, and Ryan, you're asking for $1,500, I think we do follow our policy and make a few phone calls and see what kind of bids we can get. We do it quickly so that possibly we could have an answer and potentially move forward by next Wednesday.
Yeah.
So Patrick, referring to Henry's question, I think he was alluding to if we're going to use this money for ISO, how will ISO impact our residents? I think that's what he was looking at. And I was curious as to, what we would look for to get that.
Charlie, I think that question was kind of answered. The answer was it probably is not going to affect the insurance rates of our constituents, because that's really hard to quantify. But in a way, it kind of should. But it's hard to quantify. But I think it provides a better product that we're putting on the street and on the district with hoses certified, metal certified.
Okay, I just want to make sure there wasn't.
Exactly.
And I echo Patrick's comment on the fiscal responsibility. I mean, we just need to make sure that this expense at the end of the day fits our budget, and there's not other expenses that we want to spend this money rather on than host testing.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to know there's nothing I can do for you to help make that decision.
So is this,
I don't
this
know
something
that doesn't absolutely here, so
that we can potentially make a decision next Wednesday on this once we have just a little more information, and follow the policy that we have in place as far as contracting or purchasing.
Okay. I'll just let your background die down there a bit. Okay. So as I understand it, the pump testing we can do ourselves down at the burn building, is that correct?
They do have a test pit down there, and it is available. I don't know if they charge anything else. You know, if we're already down there, you know, training, doing live fire training, or is it just something we schedule and get the three frontline engines down to, along with the ladder truck.
Right.
So this is Ryan.
Okay.
From the last time we did pump testing, which was probably 2010, be generous, which is the last time we did any pump testing. 2009. I'm sorry. I was generous. None of our trucks have been pump tested since then. So it generally takes at least two people half a day to go down and do one truck, because you got transit time to get down there and back. So we can do it ourselves, but it's going to have to allocate some overtime to do it, and probably a significant amount of overtime to do it. And also bringing in some volunteers to help with it, because you just can't do some of the stuff by yourself. So it's still going to cost a couple thousand dollars to do it, but it can be done.
Hey, Ryan, would you call Mountain View Fire Department or whomever is on duty? Yeah, I guess you're on duty tomorrow. Would you call Mountain View Fire Department? We lent them our pump desk trailer a few years back, and they have since purchased one. And I know our fleet mechanic can test two trucks about every 2 hours by himself. Would you call Mountain View, see if they offer any kind of availability with that trailer and someone that would run the test, and if they charge?
Sure, I can absolutely call them.
I've been there for just a second since we're in Mountain View. So because we were having some more problems with 5617, I've been calling around looking for people to help us fix it. And I got wind that Mountain View actually just opened their own brand new fire truck repair shop. And conversation with the city of Boulder today, and they actually recommended the mechanics there. That being said, I spoke with them they would accept our truck. So I tentatively have something scheduled with them on Friday when we have, whenever we get to this, so I can actually handle the Mountain View request.
All right, I can turf it to Charlie.
Yeah, don't make any agreements with them, but, you know, ask them what they would charge to pump test us.
Yep.
Okay. That all sounds pretty positive and good. So I know last week we were talking about new recruits and the gear costs for them. I believe that since then Ryan found some still standard conforming gear that was about half the price. Is that correct, Ryan?
Two-thirds the price. So it would work.
Okay.
It's not going to have long term. So out of like the $5,000 gear cost, it'd probably shave $1,000 down to $4,000. So, you know, as far as like the quality, longevity, don't know, but, you know, I know that from going through Academy, everyone tears knees out of everything, tears up the tips of their boots. So I think it's a, you know, Patrick's suggestion was valid and good. But it does kind of bring in a point. It's like, we are going to need to fix this stuff and we're going to need to get some more equipment to replace it. But the upfront cost, it does lower it, you know. So, like I said, from $5,000, about $4,000. But I think the long-term cost, it's actually going to increase it.
I think in the short term, yes. But in the long term, it's the calculation of the, when we get new recruits on board, if they leave within 6 months, are we – you know, $6,000 in the hole for their new gear or $4,000 is worth considering and looking into. And obviously, we can reuse that gear a little bit easier than gear that we absolutely have to have for structural firefighting.
No, and I agree. And this is going to be a little bit of a steep curve at the front where this stuff is size small, medium, large, extra large, which we don't have anyone extra large. So over the next 2-3 years, we're going to start building a pool of this equipment that is going to decrease our upfront costs. So it's hard right now, but it's going to save us money over the 5-year term.
Okay.
Have we heard anything from the grant application for volunteer retention?
So no, I sent out the update about that yesterday. So they have started to post results for that. Which means nothing, means they started posting results. We could get a notice Friday. We could get it like next Friday, Christmas. So it's starting to roll out, but we've not gotten a no. We've not gotten a yes. And I've talked to other agencies and it's just a big unknown. So we don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely a game changer, that grant, if we manage to secure that. But we also need a plan B.
If we get any one of the 5 grants we have out there, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
So I know you guys have given us the number. How many sets of gear are coming up from the 2014 purchase? Any ideas?
Say again, I don't quite understand the question.
Hold on a second, Patrick. Give me 1 second here, Patrick. I can look at it.
Okay.
I think you mean 2013.
Was it 13 or 14, whenever it was?
That should be approximately about 20 to 25.
I count 15.
So then the original grant was 20, and probably we've lost about 5 sets through destruction or whatever, but I remember the original grant, 20.
Yeah, so we have a total of Looks like 15 from July of 13.
Okay.
Okay.
And if we were to, and I think we've kind of touched on this topic in the past, if we were to have a target number of active members, what is that? Ideal.
Honestly, I think it should be about
all qualified firefighters.
Truly active people, it needs to be at a number of 40 to 50.
Then how'd you come about that number?
I need to review some of my notes, but based upon NFPA recommendations of some of the responses, I think, and like I said, I'm going from memory, I don't have it in front of me. They're asking that for in-town calls, our standard should be having, I believe, 10 firefighters respond within 30 minutes. So if we're expecting 10 people to show up, I use the ratio of every 3 volunteers equals 1 person that shows up. So that equals about 30. So give a little bit of a wiggle room, and that's about 40 volunteers. So, and I don't have my notes in front of me on those exact numbers, but I think that's what my goal was in some of the grants I wrote, 40 volunteers.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, in my head, it was about, we need around about 30 people to adequately be able to staff our volunteer capacity.
And I mean, remind me today, where are we at?
Is that a realistic number? I mean, are we even in the ballpark here?
No.
Not right now.
Today.
I think it's a realistic number based upon talking to Timberline. They have about 70 volunteers right now, and they run slightly larger, maybe 10% larger call load. Sugarloaf, I think, has about 50 right now, and they run a less call load. So what I've found digging through this is we have been closing the door on many people before we're even giving them a chance to come in. So we have people that are interested in joining Nettle and Fire. We've just missed the opportunity or let them sit on the vine for 6 months a year and they drop off. So, but I think it is 40, at least 40 volunteers. I think that's realistic and I think it's doable.
And how many people, how many do we have today?
Probably about 8.
I can tell you that I responded with no one today.
Yeah, and that's our problem. On the roster, we have probably 20 people. But the reality of response is 8 people. 8 to 10. It's been like that for a while. And we really need to address that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get 8 to 10 people on a structure fire. On a medical call, you get anywhere between 0 and 3.
Yeah, and that's what we're seeing.
So we have 14 non-paid volunteer members. And we have, it looks like, 2 active applicants.
And so we have many, not many, but it's better, but there's people like, I don't know, name names like James Brooks, who hasn't been on call in years and is still listed as active. And so I think working on redefining some of these roles is going to help. But yeah, it's like our roster is grossly overinflated.
Okay, so back to the original discussion is lower cost on bunker gear for new recruits. So if you, from what I understand, you might have about 10 applicants, is that correct? Somewhere in that realm right now?
Yes.
And any ideas how many of those folks are interested in going to the Fire Academy come next year?
So we're going to start rolling them out here in the next like 30 days. And my goal was to put probably 6 people through Fire Academy, 6 of the best qualified applicants, because talking to them, some of them are not actually interested in going through Structure Academy. So I think putting 6 through
At that cost of $4,000 a piece, $24,000, that's about what it's going to cost us for equipment, another $6,000 for the actual training expenses. So, I mean, I could work up some harder numbers, but I'll have harder numbers in about 45 days.
And I would say the nice thing about buying gear that looks similar to what you currently have, but is basically off the rack, there's little turnout time. So this allows us the opportunity to potentially push any purchases back until after the first of the year if their academy starts in February. When does their academy start? Or if they were to go to the first academy this next year?
My understanding was February.
Okay. So that also might be a benefit because we're not custom fitting people. Number one, we're not custom fitting people with $5,000 gear that is, number one, going to take some time to manufacture. But number two, there's no guaranteeing that they're going to make it through the academy or they want to continue doing it if they do make it through the academy. So I would say we really even press that $4,000 mark, and I'm pretty confident that we can get it a little bit lower than $4,000 for all the structural gear, gloves, suspenders, helmet, the whole nine yards. In fact, I'm very confident we can make it less than $4,000. I'm pretty darn confident we can make it close to $3,000.
Yeah, and I know we've beaten up some expensive bunker gear in Academy. Which obviously concerns me that we do that. So I'd rather go with the still being NFPA compliant, but if we beat it up, it's not such a big deal.
And then, so that would be the first year. And then we also have to look at the roughly the 15 sets at $5,000 a piece, the higher end gear that would go on our existing members. And we've got roughly 3 years to either budget for replacing that gear or hope for a grant. And in my opinion, it would be nice to be able to set aside cash, still apply for the grants. And if we get a grant, then we have a windfall of cash or we can move elsewhere. But I really don't like the idea of waiting until we absolutely have to purchase something and then either buying the cheapest of the cheap for the people that we know are going to use it or scramble and defund something just to make a purchase or hope for that grant. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think we need to really look at being able to fund in cash for things like that.
Well, it's kind of a fundamental part of what we do. So we need to figure out how we pay for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Along with what I'm looking at on the list here, still outstanding. So.
Yeah. So on that budget note, in our next regular meeting on the 2nd of October. I spoke to Kathy. I've got the budget template, and we should have, well, I'm hoping to have, let me rephrase that. I need to have by then, or we need to have by then, a budget that we're looking at, regardless of what that number is. We need to understand where we're going to be. So all of this is going to fall into that as well. Just as an FYI. Mm-hmm. Okay, so next on the agenda, Ryan, I think this is you again. We were talking about EMS grants and the potential for vehicle replacement, which I think we were talking about 5620, and then ice rescue suits. You felt there might be some opportunities out there for us for that.
So yeah, EMS grant, I'd have to check when it's actually due. not for a couple of months. It hasn't even been posted yet. So as far as replacing 5620, that is an option because that is our backup mm-hmm. ambulance. So vehicle replacement is covered. We could also do replacement for items such as our ice rescue suits. Some of our ropes should probably be replaced because they've kind of timed out at least 10 years old with no actual history of them. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but we kind of have to go one route or another. It's like you can't really do, or it doesn't make sense, or it's not very smooth to do a ambulance grant with like some, you know, in the grand scheme of things, cheap ice rescue suits tacked on. So if we're going to go after that for 5620 as a vehicle replacement, that should be kind of our primary goal for next year. And so it's going to be 50-50. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think I have to see. I think that's a type 3 ambulance. They actually have caps on what they'd pay. And so I think right. that our, we would exceed the caps with some of the modifications we'd want, like four-wheel mm-hmm. drive, lift, or anything like that. So it probably wind up being more of a 60-40, which whatever the perceived costs are, we could probably get 40% of our money back. So I think it's a good option, and we need to write it next year no matter what. If we don't decide next year is our year to replace that ambulance, then we need to go after ice rescue gear and some of the ropes and other things that need to be replaced.
Would you explain that 60-40 equation to me one more time? Usually we see a grant match, right, on these EMS grants. You know what that is, and then would you explain that 60-40 to me one more time?
Yeah, so exactly. So, sorry, that was a little bit of me conjecturing. So the grant would have to be 50-50. But the grant, for example, would say, we will give you $100,000 for a regular two-wheel drive van-type ambulance. That's not going to fly for us. So for us to get the four-wheel drive conversion, lift kit, and things like that, that's going to be over and above. So if the grant says, like, you can buy a van-type ambulance at $100,000, our actual cost might be $130,000, but they would only give us 50% of a $100,000 ambulance. They kind of don't care about what modifications you do for our specific region.
Do you think we're going to be responsible for 60% of the cost, depending on what the upgrades are?
I think that's what it's going to wind up being. It would be 50-50, but a 50-50 is going to get you a two-wheel drive Mercedes ambulance that's great for the city of Boulder, you know, which is a $100,000 ambulance, but it goes $50,000 for it, and anything above and beyond that, we got to pay for.
This is going to be a big expense for our district.
Good. I'm just telling you numbers right now.
It is going to be a very big expense because a regular type 2 ambulance with a Ford, just like your 5621, to replace that brand new is right at about $225,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be prepared to be on the hook for at least $120,000 if you're saying we're looking at upgrades. For an E350 or whatever version van ambulance you're talking about, we're going to have to account for a lot of money and set that aside.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some money set aside in our grand match reserve already, but of course,
is there?
Nowhere as close as to buy a new ambulance.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing out the numbers and letting you guys know what I know. As far as when we do it, that's up to you guys.
Okay. And just a question, can we do a lease purchase grant mix, or are they two totally different ways of purchasing? Does anybody know?
Honestly, I'd have to research it, because one thing I do know is that they will not allow you to buy used. So used is completely off the table. As far as like our match, whether it's a lease purchase, I think that's a possibility, but I'm not 100% sure. I can find out from state.
I think that, for me, that makes it quite a bit more palatable. And, you know, you go from the longest they'll lease purchase an ambulance is 5 years. You can actually start making an appropriate business case every year to fulfill your portion of the lease purchase and also fund the replacement in future years. So that would be great to find out.
Okay. I think it's definitely something we should work on and look at. Just because of the age of that ambulance now. And I know there are issues that we have with that. So, you know, even if this is 2 years out, we need to start thinking about it now.
So I could talk to the state. I have a good relationship with one of the grant coordinators. And so I could just ask him the questions because he'll tell me yes or no.
Okay, that's great. That makes it a lot easier. Okay, so that's just, that's kind of work in progress, and just looking out to the future of, you know, where we want to be in 5 years' time, really, and making sure that we are providing, that we have the right equipment to provide the service that we want to provide.
So, on a tangent, if I may.
Go.
So under the Assistance of Firefighters grant, we can apply for an ambulance there, which would be a 95.5. But thing is, once we start getting rid of our excess unused apparatus, I need to do a age average and see where we fall, because most times they will set a cutoff that if you're requesting for an apparatus replacement, and they might say it's like if your average fleet age is 17 years and maybe that year they set 18 years as the cutoff, they just toss your applications because your fleet's not old enough. So we need to see where we fall after we get rid of some of the rusting steel in our backyard, but it's an option. But I also say that 95.5 is appealing, but an ambulance is $150,000. A fire truck is half a million. So we have to be a little strategic in how we look at our grants. But I can make that assessment as the grants come available next year or in next 4 months.
Okay. I certainly appreciate that. And like I said, this is the looking at the long-term plan of what we're intending to do. Okay, so Ryan, if you can work on that and come up with some like numbers and potential solutions, that'd be great. And I don't think that's not an urgent thing, but certainly a background task would be great. If we're done in the grant conversation, unless anybody else has anything to say.
So did everyone get my update on grants that we have outstanding?
Yep.
Probably, but I haven't seen email this week, so yeah. I think I pretty much know where we are grant-wise, but.
Yeah, we have a lot. Yeah, a lot of game changers out there that are starting to get announced. I mean, I think we have like roughly $1.6 million in grants out there. As soon as I hear something, I'll let you guys know.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, like you say, there's some of those in there are big game changers for us. I'd really like to see some of those come home. Ryan, you again, I'm afraid. Did you get any costs for the getting somebody to come up and look at the Cascade for SCBA?
No, I did not. It's just one of those things. I was on shift last week and have not had a chance to follow up with them this week. So I will work on that tomorrow and Friday and go from there.
All right, we'll leave that on the list. Just for the rest of the board, the SCBA Cascades had some issues for a while, and we really should get that replaced, or not replaced, repaired. Ryan found a company that will come, well, that will repair that model, because it's 20 years old, something like that. Yeah, we'll figure that one out.
22 years old.
22. I knew it was up there. Okay. So that's on the list of to-dos. Fingers crossed that is not a big number. But what we're trying to do is just figure out how much they'll charge just to come up and look at it and tell us what needs doing to it. Item from the past. So we have all the LED lamps, I believe, to replace all the body lighting. They're currently sat on the shelf doing nothing. I'd like to suggest that we rent a proper scissor lift for a week to do that. Some quick research from Sunbelt Rentals was about $605 for the week to do that. The lift we have, I certainly personally wouldn't put myself on top of that. I don't know if anybody else has an opinion on that.
This is Ryan again. I have an opinion on it.
Not
about the quality of the scissors lift. Sorry, I'm not being able to say it right. But I would also say that if we're going to ask Charlie to do it, we need to budget overtime for Charlie to do it over those days.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. to me, what has happened is these projects has been assigned on work days. Charlie runs calls all day, or Charlie or Dan, or I think hopefully you don't want me doing electrical work. But so my point being is, if you want this done, either hire an outside electrician or pay Charlie on his days off overtime to come in and do it. And just to be clear, I think Charlie's overtime rate is like, I don't know, $50 an hour or something like that. And so the board should be comfortable in budgeting a couple thousand dollars for that.
So I'm not going to agree to anything like that until after the first of the year, if it's, you know, in the neighborhood. I don't mind having Charlie come in on his day off and do it and pay the overtime. I think that's perfectly appropriate, just because it does affect response time, and our primary mission is respond to calls. And if he's up on a scissor lift and, you know, grubby work clothes, he is not prepared to run a call. So I'm 100% behind off duty and allocating the overtime funds to do that. But I am not getting behind, you know, an estimate of $2,000 anytime in this fiscal year.
I also think if it's $2,000, we ought to probably call a local electrician and ask him what he would
tell him. Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's budget that out and see what that looks like. We can line item that in the new budget. It's just, we have, I don't know how much the new lighting cost, but it's just sat on the shelf, and I believe we can't replace the lamps in the current overhead lighting that we have. I think because they're old school.
But replacing the lights is not keeping us from doing business today, correct?
Yeah.
It is not.
Okay.
It's not high on the list of priorities, but
okay.
It does need to be done.
Yeah. Next year.
But Henry's right, though. If we're looking at $2,000, my gosh, let's once again follow our purchasing policy and get three bids. And you know, if we can still do it less expensive, and it ultimately, yeah, it falls back to Charlie, but I think at that point we owe it to the district and the taxpayers at least to explore and get some bids. Maybe it's a whole lot easier and cheaper to get someone else to do it.
Yeah, I do not disagree with that. Okay. So moving on to the narcotics policy. I haven't seen any updates on that, but like I said, I've been away from my computer for a few days. Charlie, where are we at with that?
I think he went out on a unintended campfire call. Is he here? Yeah, he's on a call right now.
So this is Ryan. I can comment on it. We are adapting our forms, and like kind of like I think we're at round one, where we see some of the holes in our forms, and we're adapting them as far as locking stuff up better. I've talked with Charlie. He's looking at safes and things like that. One of the things is, as far as video monitoring, the board needs to adopt or adapt our personnel policy, which says there is no video monitoring allowed in the station. So that needs to change, which we'll turf over to you guys. But I think it's going successfully. And one of the biggest things is we're reducing our carrying capacity of how much stuff we have on board. Getting rid of 5622, or I'm sorry, I'm not getting rid of it, but mothballing it, that was decided at the last board meeting, is greatly streamlining everything. And so I think we're getting there. And I think by next week, Charlie should have some more information. But it's
okay.
Improving 1,000-fold.
Sorry, say that again.
It's improving. We're getting there. We're just not there yet.
Okay. Yeah. I think the last conversation I had with Charlie was we would just try to figure out safe prices, because it's easy to buy safes that have like number combinations, but try to find one that has multiple number combinations, much more difficult. The camera part of it, I don't think is particularly expensive. But yeah, we need to get some pricing together for that. So that's still moving forward, which is good.
So I would also counsel the board of directors that if you're looking at a camera for one location, it might not be bad to have exterior cameras throughout the department. Because we frequently get some people that are not so nice showing up at our doors. So if you're looking at one camera, maybe look at eight. So that's just my personal opinion.
Okay. So just on that note, I have a system at my house, which I believe was four cameras, and that came in just under $500. So it's not hugely expensive. And then that is recordable to the cloud or to a local server. So I don't think that's a huge expense, but obviously for the narcotics side and management, it's definitely something we should be looking at. That's been
the camera is best practice. Camera being best practice, but you know what they're sounds like they're doing right now and accountability. Checking with the offgoing paramedic, the oncoming paramedic, and doing their accountability checks every 48 hours is a big, big jump in the right direction. The DEA would be pleased with that. The camera is not a must by DEA. That is a recommended best practice. And so we certainly are moving in the right direction. And I think a camera would be worth considering after the first of the year. And obviously, changing policy to cite specifically where a camera may be used inside the fire station, and then also post on the walls where that camera is in use.
Yeah, I think we can absolutely get there with some minor modifications. Like I said, just tweaking. I think everyone's intent is in the right direction.
Good.
Just wordage.
Yes, I agree with you there. I don't think it's not a big deal to fix that. Easy. Bunker gear conversation, I believe we had earlier. Unfortunately, Charlie left us in the middle of this. But I spoke to him earlier today. So 5617 came back from Keter. I believe they fixed the issue it went down for. Then he found, when he was driving it back, he got a check, like an error light on it. And Keter can't deal with that. So that has to be somebody who has the PS monitor to plug into it, which is why he was calling around and probably talking to Mountain View. So we're kind of still out of service until we figure out what that's about. So hopefully he'll be able to get on that the next couple of days. Um, 5623 Indian Peaks picked that up last week or last weekend.
Is that the old rescue truck?
The old rescue truck, yeah. Basically, I believe we donated that to them. And part of that is just age, and also it was a grant issue. So it was cleaner to donate that to them. We have some documentation to complete with them. They were pretty happy with it, I believe, so good.
They were actually ecstatic.
Well, there you go. That's awesome. Give me 1 second. And the old Jeep we already spoke about, we're still working through that. Jim said today that State Patrol coming up next week to work out how we title that, and then we can move that through the system as well. And that's it on my agenda, unless anybody else has anything else.
This is Ryan. I have one other issue, just clarification that we talked about last week. So old command, I believe that we had talked about, like, Durr had said he wanted to buy it for $500. But can we confirm that he wants it for $500, or can we just move it along?
We previously committed to him that he could have first right of refusal on it, so I think we allow him to determine whether or not he wants to buy it. If not, then yeah, we move it along. But,
okay, yeah. Do we have a time frame on that?
Yet to be determined.
Okay, all right, just asking, just trying to clean up some of the stuff.
Yep. So
it's $500, first right of refusal with no time frame. Okay, good enough.
Okay. I would say time frame wise, as soon as possible. So,
yeah,
continue the cleanup of Station 2 in that respect.
So as soon as possible is what?
Ryan, we'll let you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, basically, let's move it along, get rid of it. I can talk to the chief. Probably tomorrow, and see if he's still interested. And if he is, then unless the board has any other issues with that, we can move that out of the way.
Okay, it's just my only concern is snow. We're starting to move into the season sooner than later, where getting it in or out, you know, it's like I understand that an offer was made to him, he agreed to an offer. But we're, 30, 45 days before we start getting serious snow. and that's going to start hindering things. So that's my only.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be gone before then, for sure.
Okay, like I said, that's my only issue.
Okay. So if there's no other agenda issues.
I'll be out of town next Wednesday. Okay. So I may or may not be able to call in. So I'm letting you know right now that I'll be out of town.
So, board, is Ryan. Of course, I have one other issue which I would like to get some guidance on. So, done some research, talked to some people, and I want to know if the board is possibly interested in a presentation for the October meeting about the district purchasing like a Type 3 engine. One of the things that is consistently coming up with these meetings is lack of funds. So one of the things I'd like to do some research about is purchasing a Type 3 engine, not as an expense, but a possible source of additional revenue. So I can run some numbers about, like, you know, ways it might or might not produce revenue, might or might not, you know, enable us to deploy our people, start our own deployment program. I can look at Type 3 versus Type 6. But the constant theme that I've been hearing all night is we have no money. So I am asking you guys if you want me to explore another revenue stream. I'm not asking you guys to say yes or no, write me a check tonight, but do you guys want me to do some background work with some of the other firefighters and coming up with a presentation for the October board meeting?
I don't mind presentations, but I'll give you some numbers so you can get to work faster if you're interested. And these are not make-believe numbers. These are real numbers.
I believe you, Patrick.
Yep. No, I'm not suggesting that. These are actual numbers that I've gotten from vendors and also lease purchase financer. A Type 3, if we piggyback on even just the Boise Mobile Cal Fire spec, which we cannot technically piggyback on a California contract, however, they would extend the pricing to us, would be right in the neighborhood of $350,000. If we were to spread that out over 15 years and get out of the habit of just paying for a truck and then not having a replacement, right, when it's met its useful life, but over 15 years, that equates to about $27,908 every year that we would finance that truck for the 15 years. If we had add an additional $10,000 to that price every year at the end of the 15, we're looking at about half of the replacement value in today's dollars. But that brings our annual payment to finance that, or I'm sorry, lease purchase this truck to $37,908 every year. So what I'm saying is going rate for Type 3, I want to say was like $72, $78 an hour. And if we work that out and, you know, estimate 12-hour days instead of 16s, because there's no guarantee, first we got to make that payment of $37,908, which is not difficult to do. If you're out for 28 days, that certainly can be done. But yeah. What I'm saying is that there are a lot of departments that have explored this, and it's one thing to already have the truck purchased and owned, and it's another thing to try to purchase and pay off the truck and make enough money to make a profit. So,
no, I absolutely understand that, and that's why, you know, it's like there's a Type 3, which is 350. Yep. There's a Type 6, which is, you know, rings about like maybe 150. So I'm just asking if the board wants to hear some information. And, you know, Patrick, I'd love to work with you to develop some of this, you know, about looking at an alternative revenue stream.
Yeah, I'm all about it. And ultimately, a Type 3 would be an incredibly useful piece of equipment for the district. Believe me, I'm on board with the concept of getting members out to gain the one thing we can't pay for, which is experience. And if we can do that and offset the expense of a much needed piece of equipment for the district, you have my vote. But you know, it has to make sense financially, and we can't run the risk of actually increasing our equipment expenses if we don't have a busy year. But
this would have to be revenue neutral, in my opinion. But I'm just saying, it's like, I would like to look at it as an option. And so, you know, as you said, experience cannot be bought. So I think it's something we need to look at. And I'm just asking for all five members of the board that are still left here, if they would like to hear some more information about it.
Sure, I would.
Is there a time sensitivity to do it in October?
So there really is no time. There is time sensitivity that if you want to do it, it's like you got to have a truck in place by like, you know, May. So there's lots of time.
If we do it next year, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is next year. This is next year, not this year.
I mean, a little cart before the horse. I mean, if we truly only have like eight active people in our team, mm-hmm. you know, and then we're looking at putting people out for wildland fires for hire. It seems like we need to build up our team strength first too. That's another issue I think that plays into this.
Well, so Todd, I'd absolutely agree with you, but one of the things is a lot of people that I know this summer, they're looking for opportunities to go out on dispatch engines. One of the guys I was working with, Ski Patrol, he skipped Ned Fire because he wasn't going to have a chance. He's living at Arapahoe Ranch right up the road. Him and his partner, they're not volunteering at Ned Fire. They're volunteering at Left Hand because Left Hand gives them an opportunity to go out in an engine.
I see.
So it is, yes, I agree that we have no people, but this is also a recruiting tool.
I see. Yeah.
And also remember that we do actually have people going out on deployment anyway, and they're going out with like Left Hand and Timberline. So
we have plenty of people leaving our district.
We miss it. Yeah. I'm certainly interested in hearing a proposal for sure.
Yeah, I'm just saying, look at the numbers. I deal solely in numbers. You know, I'm not exactly a rah 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 guy, so if the numbers work, they work. If they don't work, it doesn't work. But I'm just saying, like, you want me to look at something.
Yeah, like I said, I'm willing to listen to, you know, any information is good information. I think, you know, I certainly don't know that I would sell this as a revenue maker. I think we would be really lucky to be revenue neutral. I would be even willing to entertain the idea that, you know, to do this and to have a Type 3 and to have more experience coming back to the district, I would even entertain the thought that, yeah, you know what, you're going to pay roughly $10,000 a year of the, what I say, the $37,908 of the actual lease purchase. And we're on good years, we'll make, you know, the entire annual payment, and on bad years, you know, you might have to pay $20,000. You know, there's fewer and fewer wet years, it seems like, but they do happen still. So I think, you know, at the end of 15 years, yes, if we could say, yeah, we paid a third of the cost out of pocket for a Type 3, then I would call that a huge success.
Well, so again, all I'm asking is, like, if you'd like me to do a presentation for the October board meeting, I'll do it. I'd be happy to work with Patrick and we can go from there.
I'm in. Henry, do you have an opinion on this?
Well, not a current opinion, because Ryan brought that issue to the board maybe a couple of years ago, and we discussed it in length. And I mean, we kind of talked about the very, very similar or same issues, you know, personnel-wise, cost-wise, is it a good investment? What's it going to yield? And I think actually back in those days, we, you know, we encouraged Ryan to put this proposal together. And I actually, Ryan, I can't remember where that was left, but I don't think it ever came back or it was ever, I think it was an issue with certifying the truck, right?
No, actually the presentation was solid. It's just, you did not hear the presentation made by me. So it was filtered through Chief Durr, which when I listened to it in hindsight was kind of altered.
Well, you were on those meetings, right? Were you
not? No. Hey.
Channel one.
Anyway, I just would have to see the numbers again and the research behind it to, you know, to be able to decide either way.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a conversation.
Not a small undertaking, for sure.
Sorry, that's right. Decision on here. But yeah, okay. The feel I get there, Ryan, is yeah, put something together, show us what it looks like.
Okay, can do.
Okay, if we're done there, if there's any public that has any comment.
Hey, I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Okay.
Oh, I'm back.
Oh, you're back. I spoke about 5617, just so you know. I said it was back from Keita that had a warning light on it that you were trying to resolve. Do you have anything else?
Yes. So with 5617, I contacted the City of Boulder Fleet Services. They're pretty backed up. They can't touch it until the 28th of September.
Okay.
They run at 110 an hour. I contacted Front Range Apparatus, and they never called me back. And then I talked, like I spoke earlier, I spoke with Mountain View. They were pretty psyched that I called. Like I said, the City of Boulder recommended. They said they were so backed up, they actually sent one or two of their trucks out to them, and they were pretty happy with their services. They are 90 an hour. It sounded like pretty familiar with the Pierce line and the Pierce truck. I told them there's a possibility. I'd have to talk with the board that we could get the truck down by Friday, and they would start looking at it then, if that's something that the board wants to do.
Dispatch, push 20 noise and quarters.
I'm sorry? What was the question? Was there another?
I don't think anybody had a question. It might be my radio.
Sorry.
Okay.
So that's 5617. I would have left it with Keter truck, but I picked the truck up in the middle of the night, so there was no way to do that. So that's it with 17, if you guys want to make some type of decision there. And then I can continue with the laundry list.
Okay, well, I believe we should figure out what is wrong with it, at least.
Yeah, get it back in service.
If we're going to own the equipment, we need to maintain the equipment.
Okay. Yeah. So are you guys okay with me trying out Mountain View?
Sure.
I'm okay. But, hey, just out of curiosity, what does Keter charge an hour? I know they can't diagnose the problem. It's a peer-specific software issue that they need to hook up to the truck. But what... So we can compare Mountain View to Keter. Any ideas what Keter charges an hour?
I don't know. I haven't seen any of the bills got from those guys. Right. And
I was just curious.
All right. So we're good with me going to Mountain View with it?
I am.
Yes.
I am.
So we already talked about all the vehicles, but I had a couple of questions, and I think Jim has some questions too. So 23 went to Indian Peaks as well as the old snowmobiles and the trailer. And if I'm already repeating stuff, I apologize. They said they weren't worried about the titling because the truck had never been sold. But there is a process that we could go through to get that done. It would be costly. And so I think we need to determine with those guys whether that needs to happen or not. And if it does need to happen, I would think it's only fair if we kind of push that fee onto them, you know. So there's a bonding, like a cert bond that you need to pay for, and it's related to the value of the vehicle. So like the red Jeep, the bond is I think for $2,000, and it's $150 out of our pocket.
Is this a one-off?
I'm sorry?
And that's a one-off fee?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a one-time, basically to protect the buyer, I believe, to make sure that the vehicle is legal. And if the title ever came back incorrect, then the purchaser is protected.
Okay.
So ultimately, doing the title work is just to, would ultimately protect Indian Peaks?
Correct. I mean, I think we're okay with it, Patrick. I think we should just write, you know, a bill of sale or a gift, you know, a letter of a gift saying that we give the vehicle to them, the VIN number, the date, and their response, you know, the vehicle has no title and they're responsible.
I personally don't want to pay for anything. We've given them the truck. They can deal with the rest.
Again, this is Ryan. When I talked to Indian Peaks like several times, their response was they absolutely do not care about a title. They will never title it. And yeah, exactly. I don't know how else I can exasperate all the swear words they put in there, but they don't care about it.
Okay, so I think that's fair to say we don't need to continue with that.
Now that you mention that, though, what we do need to do, though, is contact our insurance company and have all these vehicles taken off.
Yes.
I can do that.
Already working on
If the board directs me to do that, I can do that because I have to contact them on a separate issue tomorrow as well.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So moving on. So Ryan, you're going to take care of the insurance stuff.
Yep. I'll take care of all insurance.
All right. So we already know the yellow truck, the other little yellow truck sold. Big yellow, if you guys are agree to the $3,000, I believe the gentleman will come back and get it. I told him that we would not provide batteries, so he has to come back with his own batteries to move the vehicle.
Sounds good.
I think that's great.
Okay. So all of the old videos and all that stuff has been cleaned out. We got rid of about 500 old magazines this week. So all of that has been dealt with. The red plow truck over at Station 2 that we were talking about, the titling, the gentleman who bought the other two vehicles is interested in that truck. So if we have less title problems, he said he would buy that truck without the title. What else? Let's see.
Did he make us an offer for that? Out of interest.
I think Jim already told him we're selling it for $1,000. So he showed our hand.
So the red plow truck is not sold?
No, it is. We haven't taken the money yet. Been able to figure out the title.
Okay, because I have another party that was interested in it and I was told it was sold.
Well, we did. I picked it up and then we couldn't figure out the title work, so it's still sitting there until we.
Okay, all right.
Get the title, see if the original guy still wants it after you get the title. If not, it sounds like you got several buyers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Operationally, with Rick Hendrickson being gone, I think we kind of missed something there because he's got a lot of stuff going on that nobody knows anything about, and we don't really know what to tell anybody. So we've been taking a lot of phone calls, reference projects that he's been working on or projects that need to be worked on. So I think of the many things that we're dealing with, we have to figure out how we're supposed to handle Hendrickson's stuff. You know, whether we figure out a voicemail or he can get, you know, we can forward a cell phone number to him or something like that, I think. That's something that we're definitely going to need to figure out in the future.
Okay, good to know.
And let me see what else. We have one of our volunteers did an online 130, 190, so red card. And he was unable to do a field day. I spoke with the county, Fritz with Boulder County. They're unable to let him do the field day with them. I spoke with Mike Smith today, and he's going to help us get him through. He said that the online section of the 130, 190 is actually more than adequate and more than what they're doing in class now. So he was pretty happy with that. So we're going to try, he's going to try to help me get Jay Hill through through his 130, 190.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that, Charlie. I appreciate it.
And last thing, a little bit more painful, and we may not want to talk about it, but I think with all of the things that are going on, that we need to develop either a work plan or some type of performance evaluation for Bill. I think that me personally, as an employee and a taxpayer, I have a hard time watching him not accomplish, not do anything, not being able to lift. His attitude is terrible. And so
Charlie, before we go any further on that, that's going to be
right.
Part of the executive session.
Okay. I will just, like I said, I would just like something documented and something taken care of with that.
So I understand. So should we document, file complaints about Bill, or what should we do?
Okay. You can address that with either individual board members or no more than two board members at a time, separate from public meeting. We will not discuss personnel issues in public meeting.
No, I absolutely understand.
But I'm done with it. I'm done with the conversation right now. We can have this conversation individually or with no more than two board members, but I will not engage in personnel discussions in any public meeting. Anything else?
I apologize. I'm just trying to get it on the record.
Understood.
Okay. Finally, there is the first responder task force. Patrick, I don't know if they've contacted your agency or not, or if you know anything about that. I haven't really gotten through all of it. They came in today with Larry Johns, who's the police chief. And they have, I guess part of their program is that they provide $5,000 of life insurance to all first responders. They would like the opportunity to speak with our first responders. It's a portable thing as well. I haven't gotten a chance to read what she had sent me back. I know for a fact they're also offering life insurance to them, but it's something that for the reference list that they've given me, it seems like everybody in Boulder County has participated in this program. And I think what it would entail is at a training or something along those lines, she comes in, she signs the people up. As long as they're a first responder, they automatically get for free $5,000 in life insurance, and then they have the ability to extend that or get more for themselves or their family.
I have no problem with their offering $5,000 worth of free life insurance to any of our volunteers. And then it's up to the volunteer to determine if they want to have a larger policy. Is that correct?
Yes.
And they would work that out between one another?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We support. I really don't know if, you know, if there was a protocol supporting anything, or I just, you know. So as long as it's okay, I can contact her back that she's okay coming to one of the trainings and talking with
her. Yeah, I have no problem offering the opportunity for anybody to meet with her as long as, you know, we follow the same COVID protocols that you guys have already established and meet under those guidelines.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. What's the name of the company again, Trey? What's the name of the company?
First Responder Task Force.
Okay.
And like I said, I mean, she, looking at this list, it's, I'm trying to remember the name of the agency. But I mean, it looks like everybody, and she's talking with the county. I know she's talking with the sheriff's office, meeting with them to set those guys up as well. So I mean, it seems like it's legitimate, as best I can tell you.
Okay.
That's all.
Yep. I have no issues with that.
Sorry, I just texted. I texted Charlie. It's like me, Charlie, and Dan are set to do DO next couple of days. So we'll go from there.
Okay, good. You all done, Charlie?
Oh, sorry. I am all done.
Okay. If there's any public comment about what we've discussed this evening, please let me know now. Okay, I'm going to take that as a no. Does any of the board have any other business?
I think the captains, and I guess Dan's a lieutenant, but I would just collectively refer to them as captains. I think they're doing a great job in really focusing on cleaning things up, tidying the stations up, doing their daily checks, making sure the trucks are ready to run and properly equipped. I appreciate that. I appreciate and I understand the amount of work that is going into this, and so please keep it up. And I also see that the volunteers are noticing this. I had a week or two back, Larissa mentioned that she was very excited, and I forget who was on duty and helping out whatever the project she happened to be working on, but she did convey the fact that she was very excited to be able to help out. And I don't know if you guys have heard any feedback from volunteers, but I do recognize the amount of work you're putting into this, and it does make a difference. So thank you.
Yeah, I definitely second that. And I've also had some positive feedback as well from other volunteers. So keep it up. This is good work.
Thank you.
Okay, on that note, I motion we adjourn this meeting.
Second.
Okay, meeting's adjourned at 20:40. Thank you, everybody, for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Having
hard. It'll get us through this. So thank you for spending the time.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, good work, guys.
Thanks.
See you all soon. Okay.
All right, bye.